Good afternoon, everybody. Let me try that again. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
And to those group of people talking, if you could just be quiet down a little bit, we're going to begin our ceremony. This is a very special day for a number of people, but the Spirit of Portland Award has been around since 1985. So this is the 22nd annual Spirit of Portland Award. And as we look at the selection process, it's really difficult every year because we have such great candidates for this award. And each year, we have a committee that are made up from people from the council offices, the Office of Neighborhoods, neighborhood coalitions, business associations, and even the past recipients get to have a say. And they're evaluated on several criteria for this award. One is that they or their group have performed assistance with implementing some outstanding projects that have helped our community, that through their work they've enriched and revitalized our community and neighborhoods, and that there was a special service that they provided either to our residents or businesses. They've demonstrated responsive, creative, and civic values and raising cross-cultural awareness. Those are the criteria. And so those folks make selections from that, and each year the mayor selects a few individuals or organizations who demonstrate these values and a commitment to the betterment of our community. And so I'll be presenting those awards. Each of the commissioners and myself will be presenting awards to different folks. And that you have with you the agenda for today. You can follow it in the program. If you have a copy of the program, if you don't, maybe we can get some in here. Anybody need a program? Ah, look like you got covered. That's good. Very good. So with that, we'll go ahead and begin. And the first commissioner presenting, because he has to leave a little early, is Commissioner Sam Adams.
Thank you. Thank you, and happy holidays. If Lan could please come forward. Come on. Lan opened her orchid salon in Old Town Chinatown in 2004. Very soon, her shop became a neighborhood gathering place and revitalized the 200 block of Northwest 2nd Avenue. Lan leads a number of projects which demonstrates her responsiveness, creativity, and civic values. As an immigrant from Vietnam and a Buddhist, she regularly invites clients and neighbors to participate in her traditions. Although she herself has suffered political imprisonment and the tragic loss of a husband and son, no one brings more joy to those around her. Lan has personally stepped in to fill the gaps in social services to her low-income neighbors when winter arrives and the holiday spirit retreats back to the middle-class community. Last Christmas Eve, she welcomed into her shop, rather modest, small shop, 50 or 65 people who received free shaves, shampoos, head massages, and haircuts. Inspired by the example of Darcel and Roxy, who put on a special Christmas Eve show for immediate neighbors, she made sure everyone was ready to meet family and friends or enjoy the evening looking their best. This year, she will again coordinate an effort to provide hot coffee, breakfast, and lunch over the holidays. She will distribute gift certificates to the truly needy through clients who are already on the staff of Portland Rescue Mission, the Salvation Army, Sisters of the Road Cafe, Central City Concern, Blanchet House, Outreach in Burnside, and Union Gospel Mission. Lan has also been instrumental in organizing the group Flush, notice the t-shirt, the Public Restroom Advocacy Group. Congratulations.
Commissioner Adams. Commissioner Adams, we would, folks, if they want to say a few words, if you could just keep your remarks to a few minutes.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I'm here to grateful and thankful from city and the community about the award of the Spirit, Portland of the Award. So I think everybody have to respond to create community for development Portland. So bringing the happiness by caring some their human needed, that my ambition and my career. So my next step, I wish to create a small business hygiene grooming service in our neighborhood, Old Town Chinatown. I'm Anne. Thank you. Thank you so much.
If Thomas Wilson would please come forward. For more than 8 years, Thomas Wilson has demonstrated. For more than 8 years, Thomas Wilson has demonstrated an extraordinary level of humanitarian effort as a full-time volunteer for the Letting Owings Center, a residential alcohol and drug treatment program for pregnant and parenting women and their young children. After his first year as a volunteer, Thomas sold his home in California and moved to Portland so he could continue working at the center, where he has numerous friends among both staff and clients. He makes a point of remembering first names, knowing that people with drug problems are often faceless in mainstream society. His background in the legal system enables him to be the custodian of records, handling subpoenas and other legal matters on behalf of LOC clients. He's famous with the kids at the center as a surrogate grandpa and helps families find housing once they have completed the program. Every year he buys, prepares, cooks, and serves a lavish formal holiday meal for everyone at the center. He also volunteers at the downtown chapel in the Cascade AIDS Project, working with the homeless and people living with HIV and AIDS, helping them find food, shelter, and clothing. Thomas brings a gracious, caring spirit to everyone who crosses his path. He is a well-educated, successful businessman who decided to spend his retirement years working directly with people who many would avoid. He is currently working tirelessly, advocating for an inmate in the Oregon prison system who is stuck in the Oregon appellate court process, waiting for a response to his appeal. Congratulations, Thomas.
I will be very brief, which doesn't happen on frequent occasions. I want to thank the City of Portland through Central City Concern and Downtown Chapel for providing me an opportunity to start a brand new life in Portland, where I have felt welcome from the day I arrived.
Thank you, Thomas. Congratulations. All right, TriMet. As Portland's region transit provider with over 96 million rides each year, TriMet provides service and programs that support the livability of our community. TriMet maintains many partnerships and programs that benefit the public. Efforts include contributing resources to promote reduced vehicle emissions through the Drive Less, Save More campaign, bicycle and pedestrian safety with the I Brake for People and CNBC campaigns through the Portland Department of Transportation. Another effort is the incredibly unique and popular youth program TriMet makes possible in partnership with Portland Parks and Recreation, the Rec and Roll Bus. Good name. The full-size bus is outfitted to deliver fun anywhere in Portland as a community center on wheels. It's jammed full of balls, games, paints, craft supplies, slip and slides, and targets neighborhoods where services are sorely needed. The driver and four summer playground workers teach young kids their creativity, imagination, physical activity, inclusiveness, and community are all strengths that keep Portland strong. It also helps pull together neighbors as it makes frequent appearances at community events. TriMet, a true partner in many endeavors, and as Transportation Commissioner, I'm very pleased, doubly pleased to give you this award. Also maintains the Job Access Reverse Commute Program to improve access to transportation for employment-related activities. TriMet's RideWise program provides travel training for the elderly and disabled community, while the Lyft program offers door-to-door service. TriMet participates with TriMet advertising and sponsorships for cross-cultural events like Cinco de Mayo, Chinese New Year's, and Latino Home Buying Fair. They also provide access to literary programs through the county library. Thank you, TriMet. Please meet Peggy Hansen, Senior Manager of Transportation, and Rose Jordan Fairley, Union Executive Board Officer. Which one are you?
Rose Jordan Fairley.
Hi, Rose. Congratulations.
I just want to say thank you as a representative for TriMet and for most of you who do utilize the services, hopefully in the near future and for more, that we would be the best service that we can provide for this city, beautiful city of Portland, Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you, Rose, and thank you, TriMet. All right, Imago Day Community. Who's coming up from Imago? All right. Love Portland is a community renewal project spearheaded by Imago Day Community to advance education, arts, and justice in Portland. Out of a core desire to love the city, they partnered with five local schools, the Hollywood Theater, and Dignity Village Encampment. About 700 people from our community participated on September 8th. At the schools, which included Binsmead, Franklin, and Kelly, they planted and beautified grounds, spread bark dust, and started a community garden. Folks cleaned and painted classrooms, bathrooms, playground lines, and the exterior trim and murals. They gave away 1,000 backpacks and $3,500 worth of school supplies. They also hosted barbecue celebrations with games and inflatable play areas, inviting the school, community, and faculty. At the Hollywood Theater, they painted, steam cleaned, pressure washed, and scrubbed and deep cleaned the Historic Arts Theater. An architect and engineer with a small construction crew focused on the early stages of developing a media literacy center for the theater's community arts program. At Dignity Village, teams worked on the construction of three new dwelling units, as well as painting, performing maintenance, and building raised beds. Love Portland serves not just as a one-day event, but as a catalyst towards year-round loving of our city. To that end, Imago Day Community also has programs assisting the city's refugee and elderly, mentoring at-risk youth, befriending and feeding homeless youth and adults, providing respite and peace for prostitutes, and preparing meals for families with hospitalized children, among other ongoing efforts. On behalf of a grateful city, thank you and congratulations.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank several of our volunteers who help pull this off every year. It takes a ton of people, and we're grateful for the volunteers that we have at Imago Day. But as well, we're grateful that we get to participate in Portland as a faith community to stand side by side with you and help build the city of Portland. Like every great city, we're a city that has needs, and so we're grateful that we get to be participating with you and addressing some of those. So thank you for letting us be a part of it.
Congratulations. And unfortunately, I have to leave early, so I want to wish you all, if I don't see you before then, very happy holidays and a very prosperous new year. Thank you very much.
The great thing about it is I've got the tallest pile. I really enjoy this. This has got to be one of the best days for me in the year, is to recognize all the good people and just think about all that you've heard so far and just imagine what you're going to be hearing and for the rest of the folks who are receiving this award. The first award that I'm presenting is to the County City Youth Programs Team. The City of Portland Multnomah County Youth Programs Team is a city-county partnership working to infuse youth voices into each government's planning and policy process. Team members are County Commissioner Maria Rojo DeSteffi, Elizabeth Kennedy Wong, Josh Todd, Karen Hansen, Jack McNichol, Sarah Ryan, Emily Ryan, Lisa Frank, Stephanie Stevens, and Alice Kirsting. This is the group. And E, what a nice surprise. And the team is, there you are. Multnomah County Commissioner Maria Rojo DeSteffi. That was a really important part of all this. Her and the mayor's office really worked with the Youth Commission, helped create the nation's first Bill of Rights written for and by children and youth. They were instrumental in creating a youth planner position in the Bureau of Planning. This team was committed to making sure that all youth in Portland and Multnomah County are entitled to a meaningful voice in the matters that affect their lives. Team members never fail to rise up to the challenge of confronting adult assumptions about youth, advocating for equality for youth, and working towards equitable relationships with their adult counterparts. Who from this group is going to be speaking? All right.
Thank you. We would first really, really, really like to thank both the city and county for working so well together and always recognizing that youth voice is an integral part of community and helps enhance its values. We'd also like to thank the almost 500 people who helped us create our Bill of Rights for youth and children. So without them, this wouldn't be possible.
And we'd also like to thank the 36 Multnomah Youth Commissioners who are not with us today. And the Multnomah County Commission on Children, Families, and Communities, which is our parent organization at the county. And we'd also like to thank the County Board of Commissioners for being so supportive and helpful.
This is like the Academy Awards. I'd also like to thank several other people whose names you haven't heard, who without them we would not be here today. Harold Williams II and the Success Academy, Justice Evans and the Class Academy, Ingrid Fish, Meng Zhou, Elizabeth Van Brocklin, Sonali Balaji, and Lucy Kennedy Wong.
Thank you very much. I'll give this to you, Josh.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. Let's hear a hand for these good folks. Has everybody got a picture of these guys? Okay. Whoop. Okay, let's come back.
Stand really close for me.
Stand all together. Here we go. I see everybody.
I'm just sideways.
All right. One, two, and three. One more. One, two, and three.
Okay, one more time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Great group of people. Next is the Latino Network, Maria Lisa Johnson. Maria Lisa, originally from Lima, Peru, has more than 17 years of organizing and nonprofit management experience and has been executive director of the Latino Network since 2004. Between 2001 and 2004, Maria Lisa worked there as a project manager and community organizer. Before joining the Latino Network, she served as policy staff and community liaison for former county chair Bev Stein. She has dual master's degrees in international studies and public administration. She is a leadership fellow with Portland State University and is an instructor for the Transiciones program at Mount Hood Community College, which provides a path to higher education for low-income Latina women. The Latino Network is an open forum that advocates for the Latino community, influences public policy, and serves as a force for social change. This past year, members worked with the Diversity Leadership Academy, local and federal immigration issues, the raid at Del Monte, and community policing. The Latino Network has cut high school dropout rates and improved reading and math scores among Latino youth. They've increased access to culturally appropriate health and mental health services, and it increased a sense of community in their neighborhoods. They've trained 60 leaders through grassroots programs, provided kindergarten readiness support for 557 Latino families, and reintegrated 60 Latino youth on parole and probation back into the community. In 2005, the Latino Network Community Health Workers led an award-winning effort to remove trash from Rockwood area apartment complexes notorious for blight and gang activity. In 2006, the network founded Vecinos en Alerta, Neighbors on Alert, at the Clara Vista Apartments to address livability issues and advocate for tenant rights. This award goes to the Latino Network.
On behalf of Latino Network, we're deeply honored to receive this award, and I thank the Portland Community and Commission for the recognition, and also our board members and staff and partners, and especially my little girl who's up there, Adalia, for accompanying me to all those meetings. Thank you.
Thank you. Tito, would you come forward? Tito Choudhury. Here we go.
Good to see you, Tito.
This is your award. There you go. Tito believes that if Portland wants to be a creative economic hub, it must push for excellence on a national, not just local or state level. He followed that philosophy to help elevate Portland Fashion Week from a local show 2 years ago to an international showcase of sustainable fashion. Tito partnered with Chris Cohn and Todd Folk in forming PFW Productions, which produced the first eco-sustainable production of a fashion week in the world this past October. 35 nationally and internationally known designers, including 16 green designers from all over the U.S. and Europe, launched their spring-summer 2008 collection at Portland Fashion Week, making it the largest runway display of eco-designers in the world. This resulted in press coverage in leading international press from Italy, the United Kingdom, and Sweden, in national and regional media, and numerous leading online magazines and blogs. A year earlier, they staged their first Fashion Week on the top floor of Portland's tallest building, with regional designers and academic programs. Last summer, they also staged the first ever fashion show in City Hall with leading eco-designers celebrating Portland winning of the Most Sustainable City in the United States award. Just a second, I think I'm done. No, I'm not. We have more about Tito. Helping organizations that enrich the community is Tito's DNA. Tito has helped organize some of the largest fundraising events for the Young Patrons Society of the Portland Art Museum, the World Dance Office of Portland State University, and Portland Center Stage. He believes Portland Fashion Week can promote Portland as the sustainable capital of the United States that will help attract investments of green businesses to Portland, with Portland Fashion Week the ideal venue for them to show their next season's attire. Tito, congratulations.
Can I take this opportunity to bring my co-producers and the...
It's your 2 minutes.
Okay. Can you please, Todd, come here. David. Please. Damien. Sachin. First, I want to dedicate this whole award to a big group of support staff and my co-executive producers, and our board member, Corinne, is one of them. So without them, this is really, we could not do anything. And as the bio that Mayor read, we really want to make Portland the sustainable capital through this wonderful showcase of Portland Fashion Week, and also the fashion destination from all over the country and in the world. And Portland Fashion Week really can do it, and we look forward to take this to the next level and continue to get more national and international attention. As a matter of fact, I was just like, got this piece of article that is just coming out next week. I just got it ahead of time from a world's largest runway fashion magazine. I will give it to Mayor so that he can read it. His name is there too, because anytime Portland Fashion Week is mentioned, Portland Mayor's name is mentioned there, City of Portland's Mayor's name is there. So, thank you.
Thank you, Tito. Thanks, folks.
Well, thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Good job, T.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't, man. He forgot to mention that that article on them is in Italian. So if there's anybody here that reads Italian. Oh, the award. The next award is a very personal one for me. It's a person I deeply admire. I've known for many years. And when I was a young police officer, she taught me the difference between policing and community policing. And she's quite a spectacular woman. And to help present this award, I would like to ask Colin McCormick to come up. Colin, where are you? Colin is the son of a woman that Edna used to work with, Sharon McCormick, and I've asked him to help me with the presentation. Edna, can you come up, please? Edna Robertson is the former executive director of Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods. She was born in Birmingham, Alabama, and the only child of Evelyn Nelson, who many in the Northeast community knew simply as Nanny. Nanny and Edna moved to Portland in 1954. On October 6, 1969, Edna began work as an organizer for 8 neighborhoods in the Model Cities program. After the Model Cities program ended, Edna began a 30-year career working for the Office of Neighborhood Associations in Northeast Portland. Edna shared her life with the Northeast Coalition of Neighbors because of a deep love for her neighborhood and her connection to her coworkers. She felt especially strong ties to Gail Myers and Sharon McCormick, who she counts as her rocks during her years of service. Edna wants District Coalition leaders to remember to know their neighborhoods and not to focus exclusively on land use and transportation issues, as she thinks that these issues tend to dominate other concerns for many neighbors. Some of the accomplishments that Edna is most proud of include being part of the first group of leaders to recognize and address gang problems and youth violence, graffiti, and abandoned housing. She was also proud to have served on a board that reflected the diversity of communities of color present in her neighborhood. Edna's leadership and focus continues to impact Northeast Portland residents and our larger community as well. It's my very special honor to present Edna with this award.
Thank you very much for this award.
none of the things that we did was by one person. I only brought the issues to the boards that I served. They were strong people. They believed what I said. And we as staff tried to carry out what the citizens really wanted. It was not land use. It was not the paving of streets. We had to get the community together and get drugs and housing and jobs. All of that is a part of neighborhoods. Schools, education is very important. And if you can't service your schools, you have nothing. I thank all of the councilmen for all of the service that they gave to us as a community. The mayor was always there when we needed him. And I and members that was on my board appreciated that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Edna. If any of you folks ever forget why you do what you do and who you do it for, talk to Edna. She'll remind you. The Humanitarian Award goes to Jan Merskeman, Norma Godfrey, and Shemeka Newman. Could you folks please come forward? Good to see you again. Can one of you hold this while we talk?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. These folks have had a major and positive impact on getting the community, staff, and student body involved once again in the life of Jefferson High School by initiating the Community Room Project and the Lunch Jones Program. The Community Room serves students, parents, staff, and community members who identify with Jefferson. The brainchild of Jan Merskeman and Norma Godfrey, this program began last year with the blessing of Principal Leon Dudley, and this year Principal Harris has welcomed the Community Room back once more. Because of the sometimes negative image associated with Jefferson, Jan and Norma wanted to bring in the neighbors to view the school and its total population, encourage dialogue, and dispel myths. They wanted to build bridges between community members, students, and staff, and conducted informal interviews to come up with a strategy. Living and teaching in the community, they were aware of the damaged relationship between the staff and the community, both sides having lost track of a common goal. In an effort to rebuild trust and give a comfortable, neutral territory to establish dialogue, the Community Room was built as a home base for parents to come in to check on their students or express a concern. Shemeka Newman, a mentor, coach, and volunteer at Jefferson, started a similar effort to improve relationships at Jefferson. The Lunchroom Jones program, an open forum on Tuesdays in the Community Room for students to speak their minds and share their hearts about school issues with both administrators and faculty. Congratulations on receiving this award.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'll give the waterhead warning. When I speak from my heart, I'm very passionate, so sometimes water leaks out. But I am honored to even be in the company of these two ladies, because their hearts are so evident every day when I come in to the Community Room. And honestly, when I came to them with the idea about Lunch Jones, they embraced me in a way that I had never felt In 7 years of mentoring at Jeff, I never felt that welcome in the school. And really, honestly, most of all, I thank God for giving me a heart to give back and be for kids what I wish I would have had.
Thank you. Well, are you impressed so far? I am. Aren't these wonderful people? And you know, as we near the holidays, I think it's really important that we reflect on these people, but also what we can do as individuals to make our community and the people who live here even more successful and encourage them to achieve their dreams. So with that, I'd like to turn the next section over to Commissioner Eric Sten.
Well, thanks, Mayor, and it's very nice to see all of you here. You're a wonderful sight, so thanks for coming, and it makes my heart full. My first award is the Community Crime Prevention Award, which goes to Officer Betty Woodward. Where's Betty? Looks like a police officer to me, let me tell you. During the spring of 2006, we developed a problem at the Max turnaround on Southwest 11th between Morrison and Yamhill. This way? Nope, this way, together. All right. The place where the Max turns around, there was a lot of drug paraphernalia, trash, and a lot of homeless youth were there, didn't have a place to go, and were not doing the right thing. This is part of Officer Woodward's area, and she spent a lot of time having it cleaned, fixing it up, and then finally, I think, came to a better solution, which was a mural. The idea was to create a mural by the same youth who were spending the time creating the problem. She worked with New Avenues for Youth, and the idea really caught on. They organized a committee made up of representatives from New Avenues for Youth, Outside In, the city's graffiti abatement program from Neighborhood Involvement, and Officer Woodward. They worked through the Regional Arts and Culture Council, and it took more than a year, but what happened at the end of it was the creation of the Portland United Country United mural in August of 2007. The students from New Avenues for Youth and Outside In created the mural with the help and direction of a professional artist, William Park. It was celebrated this October in 2007, and so a place that was a real blight and a problem has become a community treasure. It's enhanced downtown, and I think, needless to say, this is what community policing is all about. So thank you, Officer Woodward.
Well, thank you. This is a great honor, and I thank the city and the commissioners. It was truly a team effort, and I just want to touch on the theme of the mural, which was a concept that was developed completely by homeless street youth. And that concept is that many, many different kinds of people from different parts of the city, from different times in their lives, are all coming together in community and strength. And I think all of these projects that are being honored today are examples of what happens when people do truly come together in community and strength. Those people can do great things. Thank you very much.
And before you go, I have I don't know what's in it, but a special gift I was asked to deliver from the Native American community. So. Our next award is for Community Harmony, and I'd like Dolores Dillard, Lul Abdul, and Joanne Buck to come up. These three wonderful women are receiving this award for their efforts working with families from Somalia at the Baltazar Ortiz Family Center in Multnomah County, and that's at the Clara Vista Housing Development. So I've always believed, as I think many of us do, that when we build affordable housing, that's a wonderful thing because it gives people a safe place to live. But the real promise is building a community at these new places. And these three women have basically said, we're going to make this community work, and I want to thank them. I'm very proud of them. Dolores is a community educator, and maybe each of you could wave when I say your name so they know who's who. Dolores is a community educator at the Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization, Africa House. In her first 4 years at IRCO, she worked as a family support worker in the Healthy Start program. She provided workshops, diversity training, and case management, and connected families with agencies that can help them with housing, energy assistance, school registration, language translation, and clothing. Basically, anything they needed, she found it. Most of her clients are from Somalia, but she also works with refugees from Burundi, Ethiopia, Eritrea, and other African nations. She has given presentations to schools, civic groups, and other community organizations, and she's not done yet. Lul, who came to this country as a Somali refugee herself, heads the Somali Women's Association and works tirelessly, almost exclusively as a volunteer, to help strengthen families and connect them to services. She has empowered many isolated refugee and immigrant women and provided leadership and advocacy throughout the community. She is bilingual, bicultural, and she works with IRCO in everything from parenting programs to human trafficking. She has 10 years of case management experience and has worked as a community organizer for the past 6 years and always takes the extra step that needs to be taken. Which leaves Joanne Buck. And Joanne is a Multnomah County community field nurse. And if you don't know about the community field nurses, these are the folks we need. She has given endless hours providing home visits to Somali families at the Hacienda properties and other sites and makes sure they have access to health care. She's a mom herself, and she understands firsthand the disparities that communities of color face with health care issues in this country. She researches all service options. And in her work with Somali families, she has taken the extra time, the effort to build the trust that they need with her to be able to access the system. And if you have not been to Hacienda, it was originally called the Galaxy Apartments in 1990. It had, I think, 1% of the entire city's police calls in that year. It was since taken over by a nonprofit, Hacienda, which has a large Latino focus, and the Somalian community has recently become an integrated part of that community. So it's really Portland at its best. So help me in congratulating these three women.
Can we all speak? Sure. You can go. Okay.
I first feel that this award goes to two different areas. First of all, to all the Somali people that have suffered so much in their country and then come over to our country and learn to adjust and survive here. I mean, they're just incredible people, and I'm just someone who's given a hand, all three of us, because they are incredible, strong people, and it just makes me understand what immigrants have to go through. Second of all, this award goes to every community health nurse in Oregon. We are the ones that go into people's homes, identify their medical problems, their mental health problems, parenting problems, and we coordinate a lot of care, not only medical care, but social care. And we're the ones out there that also coordinate with a lot of the departments in the city, too. And that's basically all I just want. One more thing. I'm sorry. And then I'll give it over to you. I forgot. The kids over at the Clara Vista at Hacienda, they're wonderful young kids. And during the summertime, they have no money to go out and be participant in regular summer activities. And they're kind of way out and isolated. And all they do is come up to me and ask me, can we have a soccer team? And soccer just is universal. I mean, any culture, any language likes soccer. So we're looking for someone who might want to coach some soccer teams out there. They are incredible players, and I think they would go to the Olympics if somebody could work with them.
I think it's my time. I am grateful for the many volunteers and people who support what we are doing, because it's not one person that can say, I'm doing it by myself. There are many, many agencies that are working together to bring wholeness to families, and that's what this is all about, bringing wholeness to families. So I'm very grateful and shocked at the award.
First of all, thank you, God, for making me part of these wonderful people. Secondly, I'd like to thank my family, my mom, my relatives, My supporters, friends, everyone that supports me to be up to this level. Finally, I would like to thank the mayor who made possible different flowers to grow into same environment. Because of his visioning project, community engagement, that's why we are here today as Somali people. Thank you, Mayor. This is the product of your work.
You share. I'm hoping they got other ones. I think they... Okay. We'll have extra photo opportunities for the paparazzi afterwards. So, our next award goes to a youth, Jamie Mayfield. Jamie, where are you? Hey, what up? Jamie is a senior at Madison High, and she devoted last summer to helping kids in her neighborhood and proved to be an excellent role model and an endless fountain of energy. She volunteered with the Rosaway Heights Sun Community School, which is operated by Portland Parks, and she volunteered daily for 112 hours and led activities all that time for kids at Glenhaven Park, at the Glenhaven Park summer camps, and she missed only one day for a dental appointment, which was approved. Even the family camping trip had to wait so she could attend a staff meeting. She did arts, sports, games, water activities, and a neighborhood teen research project to gauge interest in Portland Parks recreation. Because of her impressive work, we're not dumb around here, we offered her a part-time job in August. She served the free lunches, washed more than 100 sets of hands before each meal, which any parent knows is very something you're very thankful for. She was a good sport at the water games and ran the rocket sprinkler right along with the little ones. It's a culturally diverse neighborhood at Glenhaven Park, and the summer program caters to many kids who cannot afford to go away or to pay for summer camps, lunches, and the art lessons that she gave. She cares, and she is the community has benefited greatly from Jamie's spirit and enthusiasm. She is exactly the type of Portlander that gives me great confidence for the future. And Madison High School, if you don't know it, is one of our greatest high schools, and it needs our support, not just because my brother teaches there, but because we have tremendous students like Jamie Mayfield.
I'd really like to thank Jeannie West, who helped me throughout this whole thing, supported me, and encouraged me.
Thank you. And this is great. I think it's time for Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you, everybody. This is my sixth Spirit of Portland Awards presentation, and it really comes at a great time of year because, as Edna Robinson said, it reminds us all how important it is to be a community and what it takes to be a good community and to be kind to each other. And we all need that reminder every once in a while, and this is a really wonderful event for that. Can I have Patrick Lamb Productions come forward, please? Patrick Lamb Productions takes pride in being a significant contributor to Portland's growing creative and musical community, in addition to being a successful fundraiser to help hungry families. As an individual artist, Patrick Lamb has performed for hundreds of community-based events, festivals, many of them free, in the Portland metro area. He has also toured extensively worldwide with such artists as Grammy Award-winning Diane Schur and Gino Vannelli. Patrick Lamb's production's mission is to bring local musical communities together to entertain, uplift, celebrate, and produce both live performances and music which enrich our community. One of the many projects was a production of a CD, Let the Good Times Roll, a Northwest tribute to Ray Charles, one of my favorite musicians, featuring top talent from the Northwest in multiple formats of gospel, jazz, R&B, soul, and blues. A percentage of the proceeds was donated to the Oregon Food Bank. Live performances of the Ray Charles tribute headlined three Oregon Food Bank fundraisers, the 2005 Southwest Waterfront Blues Festival, Blues for Katrina, and an all-day concert that raised funds through America's Second Harvest for Gulf Coast Hurricane Relief. the 2005 Oregon Harvest Dinner, a fundraiser for Oregon Food Bank's Museum After Hours 20th anniversary celebration, and a benefit concert for Tara Memories Music Education Program. The show received a Muddy Water Award for the Cascade from the Cascade Blues Association for the best performance in 2005. The tribute has now become a symphony pops concert, which recently opened the Oregon Symphony's 2007 and 8 season. The show will also tour around the world, showcasing the thriving music community in Portland. The group recently completed Heavenly Brother by the Northwest Gospel Project CD and show, which benefits the Williams Allen Scholarship Fund. This project is designed to celebrate our rich talent in the gospel community. Thank you very much.
My name is Amy Maxwell, and I work with, I manage Patrick Lamb, and he wanted me to send his regrets that he couldn't be here because he's currently on tour in Japan for the month of December with Bobby Caldwell. He wanted me to extend a very big thanks to such a wonderful city that has embraced him and allowed him to follow his dream and pursue music as a career. He did have a chance to move to LA at one point, and he chose not to. He chose to stay here because he wants to continue to build this music community and build the city of Portland and let people know around the world how wonderful it truly is. Thank you.
So can Joe and Pam Vanderveer come forward? How are you? Good to see you. Hi, Joe. How are you? Good to see you. Joe and Pam Vanderveer created and maintained the underrepresented.com, T-U-R, a politically engaging website facilitating self-advocacy for people with disabilities. Via the website, anyone can take part in the political and legislative process locally, state, and nationwide. Since April this year, Oregonians with disabilities have sent thousands of messages through TUR to elected officials in both the Oregon Legislature and Congress. With others in the local disability community, the Vanderveers recently arrived in the Oregon chapter of the National Disability Rights Organization, ADAPT. They intend for the Oregon chapter to be a cross-organization disability voice in municipal, county, and state politics. Joe and Pam are both members of the Executive Committee of the Multnomah County Disability Services Advisory Council, where they serve in an advisory capacity for aging and disability services. Pam also serves on the Board of Directors of Independent Living Resources, which is the Center for Independent Living in Multnomah County, and Joe serves on the Portland Citizens Disability Advisory Committee. They both also serve on ILR's Advocacy Committee. The couple has played a key role this year in promoting the Multnomah County Commission's endorsement of the International Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. In addition to the underrepresented.com project, Joe builds and manages websites for other community groups such as the Hillsdale Neighborhood Association and ratifynow.org, an international work group promoting the U.S. ratification of the International CRPD. And it is my pleasure to give you both this award. And I'm assuming because you're the woman, you're going to want to talk, right?
Just lost a few points.
It would be really hard to describe what being recognized like this means to Joe and I. So I'll just say that it's been a long and convoluted journey to this point. We would not be here today if it wasn't for the rest of the disability community and our friends. Thank you so very much for this award.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Joe, very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Carol Stady, please. Carol. There you are. How are you? Carol Stady is the founder and sustaining spirit of FAME Academy, which stands for Pacific handicapped artists, musicians, and entertainers. The group enriches the lives of developmentally challenged citizens of all ages in our community through participation in the performing and fine arts. For 20 years, she has volunteered countless hours to produce yearly performances of musical Broadway musicals, including My Fair Lady, Oklahoma, and this June, Las Miserables. Las Miserables. I practiced that before I came in here, and I just knew I was going to, my wife is going to kill me. Which the group of 52 actors, they actually performed here and in Brussels, Belgium, for the International Very Special Arts Festival. This past year, Fame Academy has grown in number of students and also in their ability levels. Today, 60-plus young people are involved in improving their artistic and dramatic skills. School runs in 10-week terms throughout the year, and students are happy to be at the academy, not only for the classes but for the social opportunities. Fame members become friends and support one another. They work together on important projects, celebrate holidays, and join together for important events. No one of any severity or any condition is excluded. Carol has disproved earlier thinking that special needs people are unable to sing, memorize lines, write, or dance. Parents tell Carol their daughter or son is a new person since being part of Fame and gaining new self-esteem and pride in their abilities. Students have felt more confident in looking for a job, and the program's encouragement has given them more confidence to acquire and perform that job. The Academy's code of conduct has improved many students' manner, politeness, and dress. The Academy has acquired teachers in the writing, dance, and music development classes, and the Board of Directors leads the program in fundraising activities and keeping the project on track. Carol, thank you so much for what you do for the community.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased, very honored to receive this award. Thank you so much. Just briefly, I would sum all my life with Fame up in just saying that every day puts a smile on my face. When I know I'm going to see these students, I just feel so happy because they give me something. They say I give them something, but they give me something. And you know what that something is? It's sincerity. It's love. It's just a simple way to do things. And they know how to sing. They know how to act. And they can do just as much as anybody just gives them the chance to do. And I want to be there leading them and letting them have that chance to do anything they can do. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Carol. Human Solutions. Who's here from Human Solutions? Here we go. For nearly 20 years, Human Solutions has been empowering low-income and homeless families. Hi, Carla. Is this some professional reason that you're coming to see me? I hope not.
I think it's just that comment about women speaking.
Yes. I actually expected to see Rosie Sizer.